A national veterans group called Vets for Freedom has launched its first ad in a voter education campaign urging support for candidates who are committed to finishing the mission in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I served in Iraq.
I fought in Afghanistan.
My son is fighting in Iraq.
We all fought.
We're still fighting.
We're still fighting, and today we're winning.
Casualties are at an all-time low.
Al-Qaeda in Iraq is decimated.
The Iraqi army controls most of the country.
These are the facts.
They can't be ignored.
We changed strategy in Iraq, and the surge worked.
Now that's change we can believe in.
We need to finish the job.
We need to finish the job.
No matter who is president.
That ad is the first of $1.5 million worth of ads that Vets for Freedom will spend between now and Veterans Day. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 11 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, July the 14th. And we will talk with a Wisconsin spokesperson for the Vets for Freedom group this hour about the progress being made in Iraq and why he thinks it's so important to finish the mission or finish the job in Iraq. Plus, we'll get his reaction to the latest news. Calls from Barack Obama and others to redeploy troops in Iraq and send them to Afghanistan, where violence is escalating. There was an attack yesterday on a U.S. base near the Pakistani border in Afghanistan, killing 9 and wounding 15 U.S. troops. It was the deadliest attack against U.S. forces in Afghanistan in 3 years. Our guest this hour is Greg Schumacher, U.S. Air Force retired and Wisconsin State Captain for Vets for Freedom. He joins us by telephone. Good morning. Hello, Greg, are you there? I guess we'll have to try to reestablish contact with our guest. In the meantime, I'll give you the numbers if you'd like to join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Vets for Freedom is concerned that the U.S. Public, that we aren't being told the progress being made in Iraq, especially since the surge. We'll talk about that. And again, we will talk about some of the latest news from Iraq and Afghanistan with our guest. And we have reestablished contact with our guest, Greg Schumacher, U.S. Air Force retired, Wisconsin State Captain for Vets for Freedom. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So you don't think that that we're hearing the truth about what's going on in Iraq? We don't know about the progress being made in Iraq?
I had a saying when I was over there, 2003 to 2004, I would tell my family that for every one negative that's being reported on the mainstream media, there's four or five good things that happen on any given day. And that was back then. Now things have become even more stable on the ground, and even more progress is being made on a daily basis.
Yeah. And now, though, even Iraq's prime minister is saying time for the U.S. to set a timetable for withdrawal. So what do you think about that?
Well, actually, I don't believe it's anything new. They have had preliminary discussions about basing rights and what would happen once they had become comfortable with their maintaining their own security. There hasn't been any specific, up until recently, mention of the word timetable. I do think that this is a direct reflection of the fact that the Iraqis are gaining more confidence, which is a direct result of the surge and the progress that we've achieved. Now, most likely what will happen is that there will be some U.S. forces there for years to come. John McCain mentioned a number, and it was spun completely out of context, and I don't mean to do that here, but the Iraqis will most likely continue to have us in the country. I believe Maliki said, the prime minister said, some months ago that it may be 5 to 10 years before every U.S. soldier is completely out of the country.
Yeah. The ads that Vets for Freedom are running, or this first ad, has the military personnel saying, we need to finish the job in Iraq, finish the job. What will that mean? What is finish the job?
I've been asked that before, what a victory would possibly look like. And from my perspective, I believe a victory would be the Iraqi government comfortable enough to stand on its own two feet, and we're seeing signs of that now. The political parties are coming together. The Sunni and Shia are starting to work together. The security forces are being trained. There's more recruits that are signing up to be part of the rebuilding process, to become part of the national police and the security forces. The recent operation down in Basra was probably about 95% of an Iraqi preliminary or primary Iraqi security operation. They had some setbacks with 1,000 fighters that defected, but that was out of 15,000. The Iraqis took control of the situation down there. They fought the fight. The U.S. sat back and provided logistics. And what will end up being a victory will be a democratic Iraq. The people will be a model for the rest of the Middle East.
We're going to check our weather forecast, and we will welcome questions for our guest, Greg Schumacher, U.S. Air Force retired. He is the Wisconsin leader of a national veterans group that is supporting the war effort in Iraq and Afghanistan. Vets for Freedom is launching an ad campaign, a voter education campaign that started on July 4th and will run through Veterans Day. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, July the 14th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben's guest after 5 talks about how every moment matters, especially the many we take for granted. You can join Ben and his guest author, John St. Augustine, for a new look how to live your life in the moment. That's At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking with a Wisconsin spokesperson for the national group Vets for Freedom. Greg Schumacher, our guest, he is U.S. Air Force retired, talking with us about the new ad campaign that Vets for Freedom has launched supporting the war effort. Talking also with him about some of the latest news from Iraq, like Prime Minister Maliki's call for a timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. I also wanted to ask you, Greg, about Barack Obama in the New York Times yesterday, saying that there was this attack in Afghanistan called the deadliest attack against U.S. troops in Afghanistan in 3 years. And Barack Obama and others saying it's time to redeploy our troops and take them from Iraq and send them to Afghanistan. What's your take on the situation?
Well, we have always continually maintained a presence in Afghanistan since we originally went in there in October of 2002, I believe it was. The U.S. continues to do most of the heavy lifting. We have other nations in there that are helping out in different ways, but the U.S. is the one that's leading the charge. That front in the war on terror, and Iraq and Afghanistan are part of the global war on terror, let there be no doubt. The president, I believe, even before this attack, decided that a readjustment of forces would be needed in light of the fact that the Taliban has regrouped, so to speak, and they have started to hit other areas where they were not at before. There was already plans underway, I believe, even before this, to one of the latest stories that I remember seeing was that there were a unit or two of Marines that were going to be delayed in returning home a couple of months. That was part of a readjustment, part of the plan, and there has been ideas put forth, I believe, with the president and his staff to relocate some forces, either from the states or perhaps they may be relocated from Iraq. Chances are that won't happen because the General Petraeus has asked for a pause when the additional troops that made up the part of the surge have rotated back home.
What do you say, though, that from critics of the effort in Iraq, saying that the U.S. took its eye off of Afghanistan to do this surge in Iraq, and now the Taliban has regrouped, and that situation there is worse than it's been in a long time.
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind there would be for a person that doubts the strategy in Iraq and Afghanistan would be to put that question or that complaint forth to an Afghanistan veteran. The fight is no less intense there as it is in Iraq. Obviously, Iraq has garnered most of the headlines of late. But the fight has still continued. Now, we put more forces into Iraq, comparatively speaking, than our U.S. forces in Afghanistan because of the fact that Afghanistan is accepted to be a global effort. Again, as I referenced earlier, Afghanistan, we the U.S. and Great Britain are doing most of the heavy lifting. That means we are doing most of the fighting and dying. And unfortunately, as we've seen, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are masters at garnering the public perception, so to speak. And if they can stage a spectacular attack, they know that they're going to get headlines. So they regroup, they attack, they inflict casualties, and they've basically won a small victory.
We have Randy and Madison on the line. Hi, Randy. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to thank your guest, first off, for his service to our country. But, I have to say that prior to our invasion of Iraq, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda did not exist there. They weren't there. And heroin production in Afghanistan prior to our invasion was at an all-time low. Now, Al-Qaeda is in and the Taliban are in Iraq heavily, and heroin production in Afghanistan is at an all-time high. Where George Bush and Dick Cheney have been the poster boys for recruitment for the Muslim fanatics, and I just don't know how you can justify our staying there any longer. We've riled a hornet's nest, and I don't know. I have a hard time with the whole thing. I have since before it started.
Yeah. So we've riled a hornet's nest, Greg Schumacher, and it's time to go?
Well, we didn't choose to fight. The fight was brought to us on 9/11. There's many fingers that have been pointed since then about who was directly to blame, etc. Saddam Hussein had terror ties with many of the same organizations that Al-Qaeda did. Osama bin Laden has had his fingers in many different pots around the world with different terrorist organizations. I personally believe that was one of the main reasons that and the WMD that Saddam did possess before the 91 Gulf War, and what he did not come forward with after the 91 Gulf War and the subsequent 12 years of 14 UN resolutions. The powers that be, irregardless of who exactly is in charge at the time, the threat was noted by many people other than George Bush. The Clinton administration were they believed fully that Saddam possessed WMD and the terror connections, and that is one of the biggest reasons that it was decided most likely to go in there. He didn't come clean on the WMD. Now, when we went in there, you're right, Al-Qaeda followed us in. There were some Al-Qaeda groups in there, certainly, but the main forces of Al-Qaeda, if you want to call it that, those from around the world, the different factions and different terrorist groups, yes, they did come in there, but that's where they've chose to fight us. Instead of attacking us elsewhere, they've followed us into Iraq, and that's where we're taking care of them.
Yeah. You're saying, and others are saying now, that support the effort in Iraq, that Al-Qaeda is largely defeated in Iraq now?
They have suffered quite a number of defeats. They're weakened substantially. What has happened most recently, what's considered to be the last main battleground for Al-Qaeda is the city of Mosul. And again, the Iraqi security forces have taken the fight to the enemy, so to speak, with the difference between Basra and Mosul is that the U.S. is probably offering a little bit more on-the-ground help than what they did in Basra, but that's considered the last main battleground of Al-Qaeda. Now, what happens after that is you will have smaller groups that splinter off. They will try to regroup somewhere to come up with some sort of a spectacular attack. The American elections, obviously, we have those coming up this fall, as do the Iraqis. There's provincial elections this fall coming up. That's one of the mandates that's been a successful part of the security that has been improved as part of the surge. Progress is being made over there. It's definitely going to be a long fight. It is part of the global war on terror. We've been attacked. The U.S. has been attacked, and many other countries in this world have been attacked by different factions with the same purpose in mind. That's the destruction of the West. We've been attacked since the early 70s, if not earlier, and it was time to take the fight to the enemy.
Yeah. We only have a minute before we need to break for news. Is Vets for Freedom running these ads because you want John McCain to win the election?
The whole purpose of the Vets for Freedom PAC, Political Action Committee, is to promote pro-mission candidates. We have veterans that are running. John McCain, obviously, is running. He has supported the mission in Iraq. So has Senator Lieberman and representatives from Jim Marshall, congressman from Georgia, Brian Baird from Washington. Those are Democrats. We support independents, Republicans, Democrats.
Pro-mission candidates.
We need
to check our news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk more about these ads and the mission. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Monday, July the 14th. We're talking with a Wisconsin spokesperson for a national veterans group about the latest news about Iraq and Afghanistan. And we are talking about the Vets for Freedom new ad campaign. It's a campaign that launched on July the 4th, the first ad encouraging voters to support candidates who are committed to finishing the mission in Iraq and Afghanistan. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, Greg Schumacher, U.S. Air Force retired, Wisconsin State Captain of Vets for Freedom, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Greg Schumacher says, for the most part, the media has painted a negative picture of the war and has ignored the progress on the ground in Iraq. where he and vets like him have seen a lot of progress while serving there. He says the goal of this ad campaign is to recruit voters who will support candidates who recognize that progress. The ad campaign for candidates who are pro-mission. Meanwhile, another group has formed in Wisconsin, this one trying to recruit anti-war vets to the polls. Here is the first ad launched by the AFL-CIO's new veterans group.
Every vet respects John McCain's war record. It's his record in the Senate that I have a problem with. He wants us to keep spending $10 billion a month in Iraq, just like Bush. That's money we could use to build schools and roads and create needed jobs here at home. He even took sides with Bush against increasing health care benefits for veterans. People should let John McCain know. His agenda is not what we need, not now.
That ad from the newly formed Wisconsin Union Veterans, an effort by the AFL-CIO. Greg Schumacher, you have a reaction to that group's new ad campaign?
Well, I personally haven't seen it. I obviously just heard it now, but for the first time. I guess the organization Vets for Freedom, we kind of knew that there would be an opposing view, and that's what we are here for, is an opposing view. That's the freedom of the American society, which is what the Iraqi people are striving to be like, not so much exactly the Iraqi or the American model, but they want that freedom.
What about the, you know, the claim in there that John McCain wants to, you know, continue to spend billions of dollars in Iraq when we need that money for our schools and other things here at home?
Well, one of the original benchmarks was that our complaints was that Iraq wasn't spending enough on their own. Recently, their budget has been increased. They're looking at spending $9 billion in 2008. They're going to start picking up the tab more and more as they get a little bit better at this security. When the occupation first began, things were pretty well topsy-turvy, and as things get as a result of the surge, obviously, the security has increased tenfold, and they are being able to put together a government from scratch, pretty much, primarily before it was do as Saddam says. And you have tribal loyalties. Those are things that are hard to get around from time to time, but they're learning how to do it. And as they go, they're learning how to become a governing society. With that comes revenue and spending money on their own means, their equipment, their training, etc. As they start to pick up more of that tab, our costs will decrease when it comes to reconstruction in Iraq.
We have an email from Cheryl in Duluth, Minnesota, saying there's a reason we don't hear all the good news about Iraq. If we flaunt our victories, our troops will suffer repercussions on the ground. We need to protect our troops by not flaunting our victories. What do you say to that?
Well, I guess there's some merit to that. You know, the U.S. has always, I guess, fought with honor. Not that I guess, but the term could be we always fight with honor. Ask any soldier, sailor, airman, or marine about the Uniform Code of Military Justice. We don't flaunt the successes that we've had. We quietly take care of, deal with our losses. I believe there's some merit to that. There's been a lot of things, this may be on a sidebar, but recently 550 metric tons of yellow cake uranium was removed. They finished removing it to a Canadian company that bought it. Now, this 550 metric tons of yellow cake uranium was found immediately after the invasion. Now, had the president wanted to, say, rub noses in it, about the Bush lied, people died mantra that was going on from the beginning of the war, he could have done that. But they had to keep that information very close to the vest because of worries that the terrorists or insurgents, some of the Baathists that were disgruntled and kicked out of ideal positions when Saddam was in power, could have taken advantage of that information, perhaps found where it was at, and gone after it. And then you would have that sort of stuff on the open market.
We have another caller, Michael in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. All I can say is, you know, you cannot make any progress in Iraq. No progress can ever be made in Iraq because the war was wrong. The war should have never been started. The mission is tainted. We had no authority to do what we did to the country of Iraq. We had no more authority to do to Iraq than what Hitler did when he rolled into Poland because that was in his national interest. And I keep hearing how the war in Iraq is in our national interest. How can you destroy a country? How can you destroy people that live in that country just because some of them don't think the exact same way as we do?
Hold on. Let me, Michael, get a response to that. And if you have a follow-up, I'll let you. Greg Schumacher?
Dating back to 1990, after the original Gulf War, when Saddam was directed by the United Nations to come clean, that means completely with outside verification of his WMD programs, and he never did that. We have found 500 munitions containing nerve gas and mustard gas that he still had, that he still possessed after the invasion. He would have used that eventually. Now, what I'd like for you to do is go to Iraq and talk to an average citizen, because they are thankful that that despotic ruler, that dictator, is gone. They are thankful that we came in. We took him out, a major financier of terrorism around the world. This guy used to pay the families of suicide bombers in the Middle East. It's a riddance well done with, well gone. The people in Iraq are thankful that we're there.
Could I say something?
Yes, go ahead, Michael.
I don't agree with that. You know what we say, the people in Iraq agree that we're there. Which people? The people that we sided with? Remember, we sided with Iraq, and we sided with Saddam when he was killing Iranians. But no, ask the people who we're killing. Ask the people who disagree with us. Ask them how happy they are. You got to remember, there's different factions in Iraq that want to kill each other. And we got one of those factions on our team, and we're helping them kill the other faction. You know, you have to look at the whole picture. And we do not have the right to do what we did to that country or any other country, any other country in the world, just because they don't subscribe to what we believe in.
Let's put aside getting into this war in Iraq and look to today. What I mean, if we pull out right now, there are those who say that. You know, that's going to cause a bloodbath, maybe not so much now with the surge, but we still have security concerns. You can't just whip out of there.
And I wish they wouldn't use the word surge. The word was escalation. It isn't surge. You know, the news media, if anything, they kowtow to the administration. They don't come from
the
escalation.
Other direction.
And one more thing, I'm a Vietnam combat veteran, and I'm a combat veteran. I was actually in combat. You know, not a lot of veterans are in combat. And talking about veterans, too, it's unconscionable what this country did to the people in its military by overextending and overusing the few people that they're sending over there. That's just unconscionable. And the war, it does not, the average American today does not even know the war exists. They're not paying for it, they're not sacrificing, and they don't generally have anybody that they know that's over there fighting. This whole country not only screwed the Iraqi people, but it screwed its veterans and its military personnel just as bad. It's a blemish. It's a taint. I can't describe how terrible I feel about what our country is doing right now, not only to the Iraqi people, but to its own people, its own veterans. It's
terrible. And the way to deal with that today is an immediate
withdrawal. We have to get out of there as soon as possible. We have to get out of there with our honor. The Iraqi people do not want us over there. The majority of them, irregardless, the longer we stay there, the more hatred there is in the rest of the world for us, especially in the Middle East. You know, for every friend and every Iraqi that loves us, at least they say they love us, because if they don't say that, what's their alternative? We're going to kill them?
Yeah. I need to check the weather forecast around the state of Wisconsin, then we'll get our guest reaction to your comments. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 7 o'clock, it's our State Capitol Report. And we'll talk about a political flap between a business, Epic Systems of Verona, and WMC, the state's largest business group, business lobbying group. We'll explain that flap coming up in our State Capitol Report. Right now, we're talking with Greg Schumacher. He is U.S. Air Force retired, a spokesperson, the leader of the Vets for Freedom group in Wisconsin. This national veterans group is supporting the war effort in Iraq and Afghanistan and running ads supporting candidates who support the mission in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Just before the weather break, we heard from Michael in Milwaukee, who says he is or was a Vietnam combat veteran, very upset with the war in Iraq, thinks it was an unjustified war. And getting down to the conclusion of his comments, Greg Schumacher, he said that we need to be out of Iraq, that this is hurting the U.S. reputation all over the world and really not doing any good in Iraq. You want to just respond to that sentiment?
Well, the surge is undeniable. What's happened because of the surge is that the Iraqis are making substantial political progress. He mentioned the tribal factions, et cetera, that they want to kill each other. You have currently over 91,000 of a group by the name of the Sons of Iraq, and they exist throughout Iraq. They're 75% Sunni and 25% Shia. Now, we can remember the majority under Saddam. If you didn't belong to Saddam's faction, then you were obviously persona non grata. That's been turned around. They have a Shia in the prime minister that is running the country, and the Sunnis, because of the added protection that became that happened because of the surge, they've become an active part in the rebuilding of the country. The tribal factions, yes, they go back years and years and years, but they are finally being given a chance to work with each other. The prime minister is going into primarily Sunni regions, and they are reconciling their differences. Anbar province just went back to Iraqi sovereignty. It's the 10th of 18 provinces, and it's primarily a Sunni province that has gone back into under Iraqi sovereignty. The Anbar Awakening was one of the biggest things that happened, and these Sunnis and Shias, for that matter, the numbers are overwhelming as they join the security forces and the national police forces and work side by side. Once they found the protections that the surge, the coalition forces afforded them, they stepped up and they're taking progress in the rebuilding of their country. Comparatively speaking to what it was under Saddam, it's night and day over there. And I respect opposing views such as Michael's. I just can't believe that we're willing to surrender the gains that we have made. This is a world struggle. This is not just in Iraq. And again, as I mentioned earlier, this has been going on for years and years and years. And it's going to continue, especially if we pull out of there now.
Maggie in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I've got, hopefully I don't run off at the mouth here. Anyway, I understand from your guest that his idea of success would be successful democracy. However, I was under the impression that there was a democracy, and I remember during the last presidential election here, we remembered the purple fingers and all this other stuff that was attesting to the democracy that had been set up there. And at that time, the administration said, well, if we were asked to leave, we were under an obligation. To leave if we were asked to leave because they were a democracy, and we weren't going to be an occupying force. So I guess I don't understand a lot of things, and if this is a measure of success, since it was established under law and under an election, and if they ask us to leave, are we obligated to leave? Thank you.
And does the the announcement from Prime Minister Maliki for a troop withdrawal timetable, does that demonstrate that Iraq is ready now to take over?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, that's Iraq. They're feeling their oats. They're beginning to be more confident. They're working together. The factions are reconciling. The provincial elections this fall will go a long ways. I believe the number of years being thrown around is a five-year timetable. I'm not certain that anything will be set in stone yet this year with elections in this country and elections in Iraq as well. Once they get the provincial elections out of the way, perhaps there will be something set up along those lines. And yes, I agree that I remember that statement being made. They are not at the point right now. They are not comfortable enough by their own admission to take hold take control of their security issues, but they obviously are making progress, and they are feeling that they are making that progress and feeling more confident every day. As I mentioned earlier, Basra was strictly an Iraqi security force operation. We sat back and watched and gave logistic and aerial assistance to them. We had no ground combat troops involved in that. Mm-hmm. So it may be coming. I'm not here to say that we're going to be there forever, but what we need to do is support the men and women that are there now with what they have and give them the proper equipment and moral support from home and let them know that we're behind them.
Thank you, Maggie. Tom in Mequon is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. To me, it seems we could use a better use of taxpayer money by taking the troops that are now in Germany, in South Korea, in Japan, and taking them out of there like they should have been taken out of there years ago. Those countries are now rich, and they can pay for their own security, and put them in Afghanistan, and maybe put some in Iraq, too, until that fight is done and we have things, buttoned up there. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I imagine it's going to take some time. But I think that those troops in those other three main areas, Germany, South Korea, Japan, should be taken out of there. I don't know what's taken so long, and put where they're needed.
Mm-hmm. And they're needed in Afghanistan, you say, Tom?
And Iraq, too.
Oh, in Iraq, too. Oh, so, all right. What about that, Greg?
Well, I'm not about to say that I'm an expert in the security agreements of Germany and Japan and South Korea. I do believe that there is a status of forces agreement that those countries do wish to have our continued presence there. Those countries and the U.S. share a strategic interest in those parts of the world. I do believe that is why we will continue to be based there. Some of those forces that are based there have rotated into and out of the Iraq and Afghanistan theaters. I don't foresee us taking them and closing the bases over there, strictly because those countries request our continued presence. It benefits them as well as us.
Yeah. Barack Obama, in his op-ed in the New York Times today, does say only by redeploying our troops to Afghanistan can we press the Iraqis to reach comprehensive political accommodation and achieve a successful transition to Iraqis taking responsibility for the security and stability of their country. He says this is not surrender. You want to comment on that in our final moment?
Well, the Iraqis have made substantial progress. There were 18 benchmarks put out, and of the 18, there is one that has yet to be hammered out completely. There are two others that are showing they've almost changed from unsatisfactory to satisfactory. That is the grade, so to speak. What they're working on right now is the hydrocarbon law.
And we only have 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Well, they've come a long way, and they're starting to get it. Again, the 18 benchmarks. There's only one that they still haven't hammered out completely. The cooperation is beginning. They're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Yeah. And we need to give them what time that they require.
And we hope to talk to you again as the campaign goes on. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Greg Schumacher, U.S. Air Force retired and spokesperson for Vets for Freedom in Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Karen Prager, and Cynthia Schuster for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.